Thank you for tuning in to the Rescue Mission Podcast, where we talk about real topics that affect real people. Welcome back to the Rescue Mission Podcast. I'm your host, Caroline. I am joined with my co-host, Blake, today. Blake, how are you doing today?
I'm good.
We are so excited. We have Tommy Carden. She is the CEO of Redemption House here locally with us today as our guest. And we are stoked to talk with her about her role, the organization, just some of their upcoming events. So Tommy, how are you doing today?
I am good. Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, we're thrilled. This is a rescheduled one. So I'm very much been looking forward to this. Just to start off for our listeners, can you share a little bit about yourself and your role? And then maybe if you want to go into Redemption House is for those that have no idea.
I would love to. So I am Tommy Carden. I have been a volunteer jail chaplain here locally and in prisons and jails around the state since 2004. And it was during my time here at the local jail, the Allen County Jail, many years ago now, that I started to see and really discover a passion I had for the population. The women that were in there, we would connect. We would do Bible studies together up on the Q block. We would do substance abuse and recovery classes up in the chapel. I would participate in their baptisms there in the jail, and I would watch God be at work in their lives. We would make plans to get together, have coffee, go to church, and just hang out mm-hmm. when they got out. And then they'd get out, and I wouldn't hear from them. Mm-hmm. And the frustration was just mounting because I knew the work that was being done in the jail was real. I knew it was honest, but it didn't have an environment to take root when they left. So it was during one of those afternoons of, I would say, lamenting, but really I was complaining to God about,
you know, we all do it.
The frustrations, you know, the women, they're better than this. They deserve better than this. This is so frustrating. I wouldn't see them again until they got reincarcerated, rearrested, violated their probation or parole. And it was during one of those afternoons sitting at my dining room table that God shared the vision with me for the transition home I would run. That would be a place where women could come straight out of jail, or instead of going to jail, where he could work in their lives. And that was in like 2007. And it took another 5 years for Redemption House to be born. So it's been a journey, a ministry journey for myself. When I received that vision, that calling and that purpose, I was working in professional sports.
Very different world then.
Very different world. I did not grow up wanting to do ministry or transitional ministry or even really have any interest in the jail. It was just through saying yes to invitations from people that I loved and respected, that I wanted to be close to, that I stumbled across this. So I guess my encouragement is, you know, never underestimate what God can do in your life and always say yes because you don't know what doors it might open.
Just get out of his way.
I do that well. Well, my bragging point is, you know, Redemption House is as amazing as it is today is because I knew how to not mess it up by doing it myself.
Yeah.
I love that. Can you talk a little bit about resources or the ways you do serve and help the women at Redemption House?
We are a court-ordered transitional living program. So every woman that comes into our program is involved with a criminal justice system, a problem-solving court. Every woman has a court order ordering her to transitional living with us. So while there, working in conjunction with their criminal justice provider or service provider, we are working strategically on life skills. Right. They are usually involved with court-ordered programming, thinking for a change, MRT, IOP, having group therapy and individual therapy, and they're doing all of these services in the community. What we provide and one of our goals is to create the home where they live, where they come between classes, where they come between appointments and sessions and groups. And we want to work on those things that are the in-between, you know, the cooking classes, the self-defense classes, the financial management classes, the parenting classes, the Bible studies, the going to church, the doing a chore, sharing a meal, you know, the family. We really want it to be that safe place where God can work and kind of sow all of those seeds together that the women are working on in their lives.
I love that.
When you would say that it's court ordered, how often are the women excited to come versus maybe being forced? And I know like for here, a lot of times it is one or the other. And a lot of times people will choose here, but that doesn't always mean they're excited to be coming. How do you guys battle that? Or maybe everyone is excited and you don't have to deal with that.
It's so funny, too, when we get to a graduation ceremony at the end of a woman's, it's a court-ordered 6 months. Mm-hmm. Nearly every one of them will talk about, I didn't want to be there.
At least they're honest, I guess.
For the first 3 months, I wanted to cut my bracelet and take off, right?
And the, sounds like some of the stories we've heard here.
So I am not fooling myself into thinking everybody comes in skipping and jumping.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can give it the time and understand that we're all working together towards a goal, no one stays at Redemption House forever. But if you give it a solid 6 months and you show up every day, eventually, you know, things will turn in them. And we've had girls, you know, that will get to graduation 6 months in, and in five and a half months, they were awful, miserable. I don't, not completely, but, you know, really made us know, you know, and aware that they didn't want to be there. And we were, you know, not smart, and they were frustrated. And then this flips, and they're at their graduation talking about how much they've changed and grown. Now, we know that because we know how God works.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, in many cases, and I'm not calling the women toddlers, but in many cases, you know how when you hold the hand of a toddler, they're flailing about and they know where they want to go and what they want to do, but you know that's not probably the best for them. And then as they get older, all of a sudden the safety that you provide feels a lot better, mm-hmm. which is very much what it's like for our women. You know, it's at the very beginning of their spiritual journey, often the very beginning of their recovery journey. And nobody's really happy at that moment. Mm-hmm. Even though you know you need to be there and you're happy you're there, you feel safe that you're there, but it's scary, mm-hmm. and you're not comfortable and you don't know what's coming next. And you have to trust these crazy people that are like, yeah, you're not here by accident. And every woman that's ever lived in one of our homes will say, I always tell them they're not here by accident.
So you said it was for 6 months. Is it ever past the 6 months, or is it at that 6 month they go to the next step? And what is that next step once they're done at redemption?
So there is a court-ordered 6 months, and if they are in compliance and, you know, meet all the criteria set out at the beginning, they are eligible to graduate. They can choose to stay up to an additional 6 months in the transitional living home. And we do have a few right now who have made that choice because they're not quite ready to transition out. But then we also, back in 2021, we opened our first graduate house. And that is a place where it's a next step of freedom of, you know, there is still accountability and structure, but it's not staffed 24/7. There's not programming every night of the week. You must still be randomly drug screened, but you can come and go as you please. You get to start testing those boundaries, putting into practice some of the things you've learned while still staying connected. So a graduate would basically rent a room that's their space, and then they share the common areas of the house. And that's been very, very successful. The women in there are thriving, and it's month to month. So it's as long as they need. And we have some transitioning out and some transitioning in. We have a waiting list. We have 4 houses now with 19 rooms available and a waiting
list. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that is definitely something that we'll be focused on in the future, is making more of that safe, sober, yeah. affordable housing available, and hopefully setting them up to be able to get their own place. We have a couple of graduates in grad housing who are talking about wanting to buy a home.
That's exciting.
That to me feels like we're really making some generational change, but it doesn't come 6 months after you were sent here by a judge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It takes some time along there, and relationship takes time, and family has ups mm-hmm. and downs. But as long as we keep going forward, Redemption House wants to be able to be there to walk with the women.
I kind of want to go back to how Blake asked the question of women not there by choice. So from less logistics, more personal, how do you work, not break down, but break through those walls? Those 6 months you're with those women, that you get with them, like, I'm sure it's tiring and takes patience, but how do you break through?
A lot of faith, a lot of prayer. Just as I remind them they're not here by accident, I remind myself, because not everybody, you know, gives you the warm and fuzzies.
Very true.
When you can look at someone and see what God sees in them, it's different than the behavior or the attitude or the challenge. If I can take my feelings and emotions, and the same with the team, you know, the team at Redemption House. If we get frustrated, we have feelings. I don't like being cussed at. I don't like being talked about. I definitely don't like being blamed for everything. But I also know that it's, you know, it's part of this world. And if I can see them, every one of these women, as the one for whom Christ died, then I can show up every day. And I get frustrated. I go to bed at 8 o'clock every night if I can, because I'm tired. Yeah, carrying people's burdens and jumping into someone's storm, it takes a toll on you, especially when they lash out at you, or you know the uglier side of ministry. But I still believe we're planting seeds. So there's a faith, there's a lot of prayer, there's a great support amongst our staff and our team, and we just promise to show up.
I'd love to dive into that a little more, because the point of this podcast when it was started was to be a staff resource, but also community resource and kind of an encouragement opportunity. So you had just kind of said, you know, draws it out of you. You're tired. You want to go to bed at 8. What would you say to people? How do you recharge the caring batteries?
Well, I'm a creature of habit. So I really enjoy my routine. I know at any moment a call can come, as you guys do in a ministry such as the rescue mission. It's 24/7. It never shuts off. I can say I'm going on vacation, but we all know that might or might not be the case. I may go to bed at 8 o'clock, but I will answer the phone if it goes off. And so for myself, it's maintaining my spiritual walk. I am an avid book reader. And by reader, I mean audible book listener.
It's still consuming.
At the end of the year, when everybody's bragging about how many books they read, I'm clicking my listened to. But I drive and I listen when I get ready, and I run the gamut of what I listen to. You know, the encouragement is the Christian books. I love biographies and leadership. And I just listen to 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Great book.
Like 50 years ago, it came out.
I've never read the teens version, but it was good.
it's worth the read.
Okay. And I just started How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
Right? Another classic.
They're both up there.
Yeah. So I love the books. I love reading and listening. For myself, I try to take a nice bubble bath every night. And it's not a long one. I'm not doing the candles and all the fancy stuff. It's literally an opportunity for that warm, soothing water. And I can let the day go. And I have to every day. I will often carry things with me, but that sometimes is a demonstration of my lack of understanding whose burden it is to carry. Mm-hmm. So that habit of taking that bath and letting the day go. And then, of course, pajamas are my favorite clothes. So comfy matching pajamas and just a nice relaxing, you know, evening is what I try to do for myself. I love being involved in supporting other agencies and nonprofits and being an encouragement to other leaders, because that fuels me, because I want them to know they're not by themselves, as I want to be reminded that I'm not in this by myself. And then just a lot of faith.
Yeah. Well, I love what you said there about knowing the burden that you need to carry and whose burden it really is. And obviously it's all Christ is taking it and willing to take it for us. But how do you differentiate between the burdens that you should carry and the burdens that you should let Christ carry for you?
Some days I'm better than others. I mean, just being honest.
Very true.
Some days I think I can save the world, and other days I'm not sure I know what I'm doing. So I'm very human too. Mm-hmm. And I commit to do my best every day in each situation. And when I don't, I try to learn to take responsibility and accountability. And I'm not always great at that. I try to remember that what our role is, what we're called to do, and leave the rest to God. I can't know what's going on in someone's head or their heart. Sometimes we can tell based on actions and attitudes and behaviors, but we really can't tell. Sometimes we get inklings we get the unctions of what's happening, or, you know, and then that's just by the grace of the Holy Spirit. But even then, it's not the whole picture, you know. So I'm not sure if I do a great job at it, but I am aware of it. And
awareness is 9/10 of the battle, right?
I wish I could make decisions for people. And a lot of times I get accused of trying to make decisions for people. But I really want to empower women to choose for themselves, to love them through even choices I wouldn't make, and then vice versa as well. Grace when we miss it.
So on the vein of leadership, you had mentioned that you meet with other leaders and you really let them, you know, speak into you. Since you started Redemption House, what are some of your key takeaways from a leadership perspective that you wish you had known when you started, or that you thought you would, you'd do a great job of implementing, you know, these skills, and now you've found, oh, I should have been more focused on these things? I know it's probably hard to narrow it down, but if you can think of 2 or 3 things that just come straight to mind, what would you tell other leaders out there that are starting about, you know, thinking about starting a nonprofit, or maybe they are getting into the leadership world and they're just not sure their leadership style or how they want to be a leader?
Again, I think the further you get on into your leadership journey, the more you realize you don't know and how much grace God extends to you and how much you want to be reminded to give that to others. I had no idea what I was doing when I started Redemption House. I had no idea how to run a not-for-profit, how to run a transition ministry. I had been a volunteer chaplain for a while, but that's not really training. So a confidence in your call, I would say, is really important. And then surrounding yourself with like-minded people. I am very committed to our lane at Redemption House. Like, we know who we serve, why we serve them, and what we do while we serve. And then I want to run alongside the person in the next lane. serving another population, and then you guys here serving another population. We all are about redemption and God's love and forgiveness and grace and restoration. If we can work together, even if it's just, you know, supporting each other, showing up for each other, going to events, sitting on panels and sharing leads and resources. I know it gets scary sometimes when it comes to the funding and fundraising and all of the competition that people think is out there. But if you know what you're doing, why you're doing it, and who you're doing it for, you can trust that there's enough. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make it always easy, right? Because we have bills too, and mm-hmm. we have all those same business principles that we abide by. So having good mentors to speak into how to run a business, how to grow a business, how to run a ministry, how to grow a ministry, there's always more to learn. But be surrounded by people that understand it. And there are so many great leaders in this community. You guys have one. Thomas was wonderful. I loved meeting him, and, you know, and Donovan before. He was always very encouraging to us when I was getting started.
Yeah.
And now 12, almost 13 years later, still not sure I know what I'm doing, but here we are. So as you start a leadership journey, I don't know if you ever actually feel equipped or prepared. You have to be willing to grow and learn and evolve.
Yeah.
I am not the same leader today I was when Redemption House started. And 10 years from now, I will not be the same then as I am today. I am a work in progress. Mm-hmm. I am being redeemed. I do not have it all figured out, but I know where it comes from.
Yeah, that's true. Be better than you were yesterday.
Yes, absolutely. And when you miss it, just admit it and get back up.
Yeah.
Wallowing does no good.
Sometimes like
it's easier to wallow.
It's easier, but it's still when you finally get out of it. Mm-hmm. Take your bath and get over it.
Back to last.
Take your bath.
In the ways that you wash the day off, what is your personal advice that you would give to someone that maybe is not in a leadership position, but still in ministry or a very heart-heavy job that's feeling discouraged or is burnt out? You know, but they know they shouldn't be quitting. Like, what is your advice to them?
It's a tough place.
Yeah.
Those emotions are very real, and we have to be very careful with each other. So I would encourage anyone who is serving in a ministry, leading a ministry, working in a ministry to be kinder to yourself, because we can get real hard on ourselves because we're doing the Lord's work. We should always be happy about it, and we should always be on 10, and we're human, and it's not like that. Give yourself some grace. Mm. Allow yourself to be, you know, at 70% a few days, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a hard charger. I'm always thinking, you know, but come 8 o'clock, I'm not having my best ideas, right? I know
your battery's draining.
I know my boundaries, and it's okay to have them. And I hope that other leaders around me and the team see that boundaries are healthy, but be kinder to yourself. It's okay not to feel on top of your game at all times. Be committed to what God is doing in your life. If you know you're called to be where you're at, you know, be there, but take the time you need and be able to talk to people. That's the importance of, you know, your tribe.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of people, you know, people reach out and say, hey, can we have coffee? Yeah, absolutely. And I have great advice. I just don't always follow it.
I can do it.
I can.
Do as I say, not as I do.
I reach out to people and say, hey, can we have coffee? I'm like really struggling. And then they give great advice. It's like a never-ending circle where we look out for each other.
I kind of want to look ahead and talk about some cool things that Redemption House has coming up and is doing. Can you share a little about the missions trips that were started last year, so 2023, and that new initiative that was launched?
So I remember my very first trip out of the country. And I was 40 years old. I just got my passport and I went to Cambodia. I went halfway around the world on my very first trip out of the country.
That plane ride must have felt forever.
It was forever.
How long was it?
A long time.
Okay. Like,
I would say 15 hours.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah, it was a long time. And it felt like it. And 40 is not really that young for high knees either. So. But it was with Destiny Rescue, and we actually got a chance to train other staff members of the safe homes in a program that we do and implement at Redemption House. So it's the MindCap program, which is an excellent program that helps women kind of retrain their brains to think after traumatic experiences. So I remember being in a new country for the first time. I remember having my eyes open to the fact that the very heart of Redemption House for redeeming women's broken lives was being walked out in a country halfway around the world that didn't even speak the same language, but we served the same God, And they were bringing restoration and healing to women and girls whose lives had been broken. And so it just gave me this perspective of, wow, God is huge and his work is incredible. And we are all doing the same things. And a lot of times for very similar reasons. So I always knew that I wanted Redemption House to be able to make this available for the graduates. So last year, we were able to take our first trip, international mission trip for staff and graduates. And we go down to the Dominican Republic. Shorter flight, same time zone, not halfway around the world. And last year we were able to get one graduate through the process and she went with us and she had a tremendous time. And it was everything that I had hoped it would be. So this year we have four graduates going and a staff and some family members and a couple of community volunteers. And last year we did a volleyball camp for youth because we had some volleyball minded staff that went. And this year we're doing a women's retreat for Dominican women. In a small community there that just has a lot of challenges. So our ladies and our team are going to go down and they're going to serve in another country and overcome language barriers. They're going to share testimonies and they're going to spend time together loving on each other. And they're going to overcome all those barriers and they're going to see God at work. And they're going to come back and they're going to be excited to continue doing what he's called them to do.
I love that full circle opportunity for those women because they get kind of not only be ones that have gone through it, but then get to help others.
Give back.
Kind of give back immediately.
You can't always receive. You got to give out something.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's brilliant.
I kind of want to launch into your upcoming gala, April 23rd. Can you share about that? And I'm interested in the butterfly theme and all about that stuff.
We just actually last year was our first gala. Okay. So we hit 10 years. I finally started to think maybe I got some of this figured out. So now let's do a fundraiser.
Start something.
Perfect. Finally. Right. Yeah. And then let's do the mission.
You did a lot in 1 year. That's a lot.
Yeah. I need to slow down a little. I'm pretty tired.
Those are longer baths that year.
Extra bubbles.
I'm actually 7 o'clock is bedtime now, but don't judge me. No, we chose Butterfly because we celebrate the transformation in women's lives. Right. And transformation looks different for every person. No butterfly comes out looking exactly the same. But it's often through those dark periods of our lives that the most transformation takes place. We can't always see it, but those watching us and walking alongside us, they see it and they know it. And so we choose graduates from all the way back at the beginning to be highlighted or showcased in our butterfly showcase. And they get to have the whole makeover and they get to go down the runway and they get to have their families there.
That's fine.
And it's just a real opportunity to just celebrate. Yeah. To celebrate how God has worked in their lives. And a lot of times it started while they were at Redemption House. And we get to be a part of the beginning of many of these journeys. And it's just a great night to come together. It's Tuesday, April 23rd at the Grand Wayne Center, just right downtown here. There's a nice dinner. There's a great silent auction. And it's just a real incredible time of celebration. It's all about the women.
If you're interested in going, getting tickets, or sponsoring a table, we will link the website in the show notes so you can access it there.
It's going to be a great night.
Yeah, that's exciting.
One more thing I do want to touch on. You mentioned missions trip. There's some community volunteers going. So with Redemption House, with those that are interested in volunteering or getting involved, how can people get involved? What are ways they can help or serve at Redemption House?
So if you go to our website, it's redemptionhousefw.org. There's an opportunity to send an email and it's like info@redemptionhousefw.org. If you want to just know more about Redemption House, if you have an idea, if you have donations you want to give or... you know, you want to get involved as a volunteer, or you just want to maybe set up a time to come and take a tour or request to have coffee with me, you just really shoot an email there to that email address, and then we get it to the right person. So if you want more information about the mission trips, shoot an email. I'll get it to our, you know, alumni awesome. Network director. If you want to volunteer, shoot an email. If you have donations, shoot an email. Like, we've got a great team. And then if it's just, I don't know where to send the email, I'll probably
email.
Send it to us. I've had weird things come in and then I'll just have to follow up and say, why don't we have coffee? I'm not sure.
It's always a great starting point.
Yeah.
Coffee's a good starting point.
Or food. I really like food too.
Brunch.
Brunch. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Really, it's okay.
Anything before 8 p.m. is good.
Yeah, you're right. Anything
after 8. So no dinner.
It really messes up my vibe after that.
Tommy, thank you so much for coming on today, for sharing about your ministry, your heart, and just everything with us. I appreciate it. I learned a lot.
Yeah, that's great. Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to the Rescue Mission Podcast. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.